Welcome back to the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. After a long hiatus, we're back. Zach Kellogg,
yes, once again,
with Chris Dermer. Quick disclaimer, remote broadcast, previously recorded on KUI 89.3 FM. Real bummed that we can't be in the studio, Chris, because I mean, the more and more,
yeah, I was,
it's just, I miss it more and more, to sitting in front of that microphone, to be able to talk to you face to face.
I know. I definitely do too, Zach. I really miss it. Another big thing too is, you know, just inside the Vandals in general too, you know, like us not being able to do the show for one last time together, man. It kind of sucks. But that's just, it's the way it is. It's the way the world is right now. So,
I mean, that kind of goes right in. The way the world is, it's not normal. It's nothing we could have expected. And no, we're just having to kind of go with it. So, I mean, usually at this point of the week, we'd be talking about Idaho football getting ready to play tomorrow. Soccer probably playing today in the Kibbe Dome. Volleyball playing yesterday.
I mean,
as of August 28th, 2020, there's nothing going on, at least for the University of Idaho in athletics. I mean, they got practices and stuff, and I mean,
yeah,
we're waiting till spring. And even now, I was the usual Moscow football guy. Their season isn't happening. That could change on Tuesday after
a meeting with the
school district, but as of now,
mm-hmm,
everything I've done for 3 years, I don't have right now, which is just insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird times, man. I mean, me and you both, you can catch us, our work on idahosports.com as well. We did a little work over the summer, but it was weird writing all these football team previews and just not knowing, like, well, is this season even going to happen? You know, like, are they even going to be playing football? I just did a state soccer high school preview as well. And some of the coaches reached back to me. They're like, hey, we're not even going to have a season. So there's no point of me filling out this questionnaire. And I'm just like, all right, man, like, sorry to bring up some bad news to you again, but
yeah,
it's weird times. It's just strange times.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, no one likes it. No one wants to be in this.
No.
Like I said, it's not normal. No one, no matter who you are, what you gonna say, we all agree. We just want to get through this and get past this. And
yeah,
I mean, and some of the precautions being taken is no sports, no bars, no hanging out. I mean, I just turned 21. I was looking forward
yep,
to having a social life in Moscow, going to the corner club, going to Portland, which just shut down. And I mean, overall, everything.
Wait, I'm sorry. Stubby's shut down? Like for good?
Yeah. Saturday, the 29th at 10 p.m., they will be permanently closing their doors forever.
Oh, man. So
for people on the Palouse, most college guys, everyone's been pretty bummed out about this today from my
people
I talked to.
Wow. That's big, man.
Yeah.
What a weird, gosh, so strange.
Yeah. And first, I think we should just talk about, because I know we got some fans who, you know, like who really like to listen to the show, and it's been 3 months.
Maybe it has been 3 months. Yeah.
Of no show. And I mean, that definitely deserves an explanation. And most of it is we just got busy doing other things. Like even
yeah,
in a pandemic, I mean, as much as we would love to do this, and as much sports news worldwide more and nationally.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard to find times in our schedule to make things work.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the big thing too is that at the end of the day, this is still the Vandal Scoreboard, you know, and
yeah,
most the way our show runs, like Vandal Sports is obviously maybe the biggest part of our show, you know? So it's kind of weird to just not be able to talk about that.
Yeah.
Especially now with everything shut down for the fall. See what happens in the spring. Hopefully things get set underway in the spring.
But you won't even be here. That's the thing.
I won't even be here.
We'll be all graduated and gone. And
yep,
Chris Dermer will be an alum, and University of Idaho will be sending you those letters wanting you to donate. I mean, that's just kind of where the world works.
What's crazy is they're already sending me those letters. I don't think they realize that I am signed up for classes still, but.
They aren't seeing you on campus. That's why, man. They're like, oh, he's not here. Yeah. We got to send him the letters.
I know. That's even a weirder part for me is not actually being physically on campus this semester. So it's weird, man. Just can't stress it enough about how strange everything is. So,
and it just kind of goes to show you got to enjoy it while it's there. I mean, I feel like we all took this thing for granted of working in person, doing our show, just
definitely
being with people. I mean, I would, if you had told me my freshman year, hey, everything that you're wanting to do, you won't be able to do it your senior year, and it's totally outside of your control because of a global pandemic. I would have been like, that's billion to one odds.
But I know. Yeah. Well, what's funny, what I've really learned from this is, yeah, definitely to appreciate these things again. But, you know, before that, I was definitely, you know, there's been periods where I've just experienced like a lot of burnout. And just with the combination of everything that we were constantly doing in the amidst basketball season and all that stuff, you know, thank God we somewhat were able to finish off, you know, the year with Inside the Vandals. We were able to actually finish our shows, you know, in some aspect. But now it's like, oh, well, now it's like the fact that I can't do it anymore. It's just like, man, that really sucks. It's not my choice that I can't do it. It's we just physically can't. So
yeah,
it's weird.
And I mean, once again, Zach Kellogg with Chris Dermer, the Vandal scoreboard. We're back for this year. I mean, we'll talk about as much Vandal sports as we can, you know, as the weeks go along. We're going to try and, you know, be that one-stop shop, like Chris was saying. Everything you want to know about going on in the University of Idaho, whether it's the, you know, what's going on with the teams, what's going on with the coaches, the players, just the overall planning, because we are pretty well connected and the happenings going on over there. That's what we want to be, that one-stop shop. But it just breaks my heart. I mean, the whole point these athletes decide, not even just here, just across the country, and yeah, there's some schools that are playing, but they get recruited and they get an education because they put in this work in athletics and in sports. And as of now, I mean, they're still getting some of that. But I mean, even I can't really speak to playing at the college level, obviously. But at the high school level, I mean, even suiting up for, you know, soccer, basketball, wearing that school name across your chest and that number on your back and going out and knowing people were cheering for you. I can't even imagine how awful that must feel to just not be able to do that. Probably for the first time for a lot of these guys in at least 10 years.
Yeah, you got to think about all the high school seniors as well, you know.
That's what breaks my heart.
For like their last football season for the last time, all this stuff, and they can't. So it sucks. It really sucks. And then you look across the country, a bunch of, you know, the Big Ten, the Pac-12. We're not going to be able to see them play. We're not going to be able to see a potential Justin Fields versus Trevor Lawrence matchup in the national championship this year. So who knows? There's been some speculation that Big Ten football will start back up around Thanksgiving, which I don't know about that. But who knows? It's even with college football supposedly about to happen, or I don't know. I don't even know when college football is supposed to happen now. But
like next week is when they're supposed to really get going.
Yeah, and
at
it's
least
just
for the other schools.
It's weird. It's just not a lot of conferences participating. I guess maybe this allows for more avenues for, I don't know, maybe some smaller programs rather than all the Power Five, since half the Power Five schools really aren't going to be there now.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's just strange. We have NFL around the corner, but I'm still hesitant about how I'm like, I'll believe it when I see it, that they're actually playing football.
Yeah.
I think NFL's different because it'll be very, very difficult for the NFL to actually decide, like, hey, we're not doing this. Like, we're not going to play just because of how much revenue and how much money that they make. But who knows? Who knows if they actually decide to not play, or if we only get 3 or 4 weeks in the season, and then boom, that's it. So,
well, I mean,
we're still barely chugging through an NBA season.
And I was just about to hit on that. It seems the thing that's really working right now for the NBA and the MLS is the bubble, is getting the teams, getting the players, and confining them to a controlled environment to allow for low spread, you know, but still providing a product to where they can still play and do their thing. And with the MLB, we see this more, and I think that's going to translate more to the NFL. These teams and staffs are just too big to manage. I mean, for a NFL team, at the minimum, you have a 53-man roster. You probably have at least 20, 27 people on a coaching staff. When you're looking at all the different coaches and assistants, that's not counting the training staff. That's not counting the media or the, you know, the videographers for the teams. That's not counting everything else, the equipment managers. That's hundreds and hundreds of people on the field, in the locker rooms, at the facilities.
Yeah.
In the MLB, you've already seen one team's bad mistake can spread through a clubhouse, and then you're in the situation of, I believe it's the Rays, where you're behind the eight ball and you got to play like 53 games in 44 days is what I saw at one point.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, not even to mention all the crazy social injustice that's been going on across the country. I mean, one thing I will say, I was never more proud to be an NBA fan than yesterday. And just these past few days, to see them just be fed up with everything going on around the world and just being like, you know what? We're going to boycott. We're not going to play. We're just not going to play. I was expecting for the season to be done. I really was. Just the way that this year has gone, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, that makes sense. But why would we actually see a finish to this season, you know? But yeah, if anybody's doing it right, it's the NBA, the WNBA. They're doing a fantastic job of everything. Heck, even the NHL. I've been able to watch some NHL playoffs lately, and what they're doing up in Canada with their little bubbles kind of thing, it's still exciting action to watch. It's still exciting up there. So who knows? Maybe because they're in Canada that it's like a safe space up there. Who knows?
Yeah.
Canada always does everything better, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, I'll agree with you on that, that the NBA has been – for me and yourself has been a great organization, and it kind of shows how a player-run organization and player-driven organization can help get these kind of movements some more air, some more spark. And I didn't think it was gonna happen. I was like, the Bucks and the Magic, I was like, all right, they're boycotting, but I feel like, you know, after a couple hours they're gonna come out and they're gonna play. But they just straight up didn't come out, and I was like that's the first time in my fan going experience and in life of watching sports that we've had something like this happen, where players are like, you know what, through our own choice we are going to not
there's play. Only been, I think, one boycott in the NBA prior to this, and that was back, I think, 1961 with Bill Russell and company, when they boycotted for basically the same social injustice reasoning, you know. And what's amazing about the NBA is, even, you know, through social injustice, through the pandemic, they've been like the leader of, like, okay, because they were the ones who decided when this whole pandemic started, like, hey, we're done, we're not playing anymore, we're suspending the season. And once they suspended the season, everybody else follows suit. You know, just the other day, they boycott. Many other leagues and teams followed suit after the Bucks decided to boycott and all that stuff. It's crazy. It's like whatever the NBA does, everybody else follows. And I think that just shows you the power that that organization has on other sports
organizations. I mean, I will just say overall, it seems like the sports world and the media community, more so in sports, I mean, you know, news coming out of Michael Jordan being a very vocal owner in all of this and the discussions with the owners and the players right now. I mean, Kenny Smith over on mm-hmm. you know, inside the
inside
NBA.
Inside the NBA, yeah.
He just walked off stage. He's like, I'm standing with these players, and, you know, I love working
with
you
guys. Which is awesome. I thought it was great.
But I'm, yeah. And at the same time, one thing that, you know, I wish we could have talked about, but, you know, things just never worked out, is the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar article. Because, I mean, he's still a very avid columnist. The mm-hmm. former, you know, NBA Hall of Famer, you know, wrote an amazing article for the LA Times, I believe, about the Black Lives Matter movement and about pretty yep. much, you know, everything going on. Whether you agree with it or not, this is a moment in history that we're going to look back on, just because this year and this, it's almost as if everything yeah. seems to be the straw that broke the camel's back and really kind of igniting mm-hmm. the spark, no matter what side you're on. We haven't had this yeah. much social dialogue, and I just hope in a long time, and I hope this will lead to more positive change and better lives for everyone, especially for, you know, the victims and the people who have died and the people who have, you know, given everything they have for this cause and for this movement.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I remember what's crazy to think now is, like, oh, remember when the Last Dance documentary came out? Like, that seems like a year ago. That seems like a such a long time ago. Yeah. I mean, we had Kobe die this year. That also seems like a lifetime ago already. Like, it's crazy, you know? It's just so many stuff, so much things have happened this year. That's just, it just stacks up on one another.
You remember when Coach Newley and Idaho Women's Basketball was a game away from the tournament, and we were going to go work the men's tournament in Spokane? That doesn't even feel like it was. That feels like
you don't have to remind me on that one, man.
Yeah.
Gosh.
But again, that feels like it was, you know, years ago in my college career. It feels like much in our years of working at the University of Idaho, we've had so many big things happen. But this every year seems to one up it just in terms of how much stuff gets crammed into a year and in a news cycle.
I know. I was planning to see you quite a lot this summer. We were going to be doing KHQ SWX stuff.
Yep.
It seemed. And that just went down. Went down, man. And the March Madness stuff, that hurts a lot. That hurt. That sucked.
And I ended up working at Miller Paint as a delivery boy and working as a freight. at Western Power Sports in Boise, organizing and shipping motocross equipment. That's what my summer was. It was going to be working with KHQ and SWX with this amazing internship. And I ended up, you know, just blue collar job. And I just had to save some money for school and then just get back up here and try and do what I can. It's hard.
Yeah.
To put
I mean, fortunately we had, you know, our former Argonaut editor in chief, Brandon Hill, reach out to us.
Yeah.
To write with Idaho Sports this summer. So that was nice to get back in the saddle of writing about sports and stuff again. But, it's just been weird. I will tell you this, though, Zach. I haven't told you. But when we got sent that Google spreadsheet signing up for what teams to write about and whatnot, I was originally just going to do, like, around the area, like, four. I was like, I'll just do IML. Like, I know that. And then I saw you signed up for like 18 of them. And I was like, all right, well, if he's signing up for 18, you know, I got to do 19. So I was like, I made myself like an inner competition. Just like, all right, I'm going to try to, I got to try to be on par with him. And then, you know, the end of July comes and I'm writing all these and I'm like, why did I do this to myself? Why did I do this? So many coaches didn't want to get back to me.
Oh yeah,
God, did you have that? Did you have that same problem at all?
Oh,
just with coaches
over half.
Not wanting to get back. Yeah,
with over
exactly.
half. Yeah, easy. Yeah. And I mean, I had the same thought process. That's why I signed up for so many teams, because it was all the 5A Inland Empire in Northern Idaho, the 4A Inland Empire, the 4A SIC. So where I grew up and where
I basically
I played,
I did all of 3A. I basically wrote about all of 3A, and I'm set. I know all about 3A football for this year now. So
and
should be exciting.
I know about 4A and 5A. 5A for Northern Idaho, 4A for Northern, Central, and Eastern Idaho. I got those down, and I got to write about my alma mater, Nampa High, which was great to, you know, look back and see where that team is.
I had to write about my alma mater at Priest River, and let me tell you what, the disappointment of seeing that they were dead last in the in 3A for state, did not win a single game last season. Talk about having to write a team preview on them, man. That was rough.
Yeah, I know the feelings. I wrote one on Caldwell. The big thing on my article was the 2010s were rough because I think they went like 12-60 some was their record, and they've won one game in the past 2 years. It's been rough for Caldwell High, and so yeah, right. But that's a good challenge, and I like that we did that. Of, you know, you're not every team you're going to write about is going to be the state champion or the front runner. It's going to be – some of them are just going to be the schools that just have to finish near the bottom, and you got to try and just write what is going on with that program, which I love.
Like, I don't know how – I got so tired of having to write every time saying, well, you know, the big key to their success, according to this coach, is the offensive line. Everybody's just like offensive lines. Like, okay, yeah, we know, we get it. It all starts up front. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. But like, is there anything else? Like, anything else other than the O-line? We get it. They're important. We all know this already. Give us something else. So many of them, it's just like the offensive line. If they can get their offensive line together, they're going to be good. Hopefully, who knows?
The ones that were a lot of fun to write were the schools that had like a big player leave. The one that sticks out to me was Valley View, with the guy going down to or going over to UC Davis, their quarterback, two-time back-to-back player of the year, guy who could get it mostly done with his legs on the ground. He was an amazing player. Lane Coffin, I believe is what his name was. He was amazing. And so then it's trying to write about how is this team gonna find someone. And the coach there, luckily, he gave some great answers, and he was like, We're going to go with more of an air attack than we are with the ground and pound game that's worked so well for us the past 4 years. And that, yeah.
It's funny because then, you know, writing a soccer state preview, I didn't have any troubles with coaches getting back to me. I had like 20 coaches. I didn't even need that many, but they just all like, oh, here you go. Here you go. And I'm like, well, thank you, you guys. Thank you for being nice coaches. The football guys just don't even care. Oh my gosh, so many of them I literally had to like hunt down. And just like, it's crazy.
It was.
And I reach out to Brandon and be like, hey, I can't reach out to coaches. And he's like, oh, here's this phone number. And I'm like, how'd you even find this? How'd you find this personal phone number that I've been trying to search for this whole time? It's nuts.
I had coaches, athletic directors, assistant coaches, I had follow ups and phone calls and everything.
The worst part,
these guys down.
Yeah, the worst part is when the phone numbers are just only the ones that are from the school, and then so you try to call the school, but it's in the middle of July, so nobody's there.
Yeah,
I had one school. I can't remember what school I called, and I tried to even leave a message, and they're like, "Okay, leave a message." And right as I try to start leaving a message, they're like, "Oh, the voicemail inbox is full. You can't leave messages." And I'm like, "Okay, well, so there's literally no way of me getting in contact with you, so that's cool."
Oh, you gotta love it, man. And I mean, again, that just makes me miss working. I mean, I saw a video come out with one, you know, Zach Kellogg, Chris Dermer, the Vandal scoreboard. I saw Idaho Soccer post a video on Instagram. It was, you know, just kind of talking about the family aspects. You know, big thing about Idaho athletics is family for every team.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched that, and I was like, and I recognized so many of the players, and I was just. And all the game footage of the B-roll they're using of the big moments, I was like, and I put it on my story. I was like, this is going to be my fourth year calling Idaho Soccer. And my third year, I believe it was, working with Coach Clevenger and this team. And, and I mean, now I just got to hope for the spring. And I mean,
I know.
You really start to realize what these guys who've been working with teams for, I mean, it's just a micro dose, but guys who work with teams for 20 years, you get attached and you want to just consistently see where they go. Same thing with Coach Buchanan and Idaho Volleyball and Coach Claus now with men's basketball and Coach Newley with women's basketball. I want to see these coaches and players, and I want to talk to them and just see, but
That one hurts the most. Coach Newley and that women's basketball squad, that hurt. Because I really think that was it. Like, we got to the championship. Who was it going to be? Portland? Was it Portland State? Was that
no,
who
was going to
Or not Portland. No, yeah, it was. No.
It wasn't Portland State. It was
Montana State. Montana State,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, Montana State. Yeah. That's who was going to be the 1-2 there. And I really thought that. Let's just say, can we just say that the Vandals are the unofficial Big Sky champs?
I mean, after that game
defending Big Sky champs
against Idaho State, I mean, I was looking forward to
an
amazing game.
Exactly.
And then the day
yep.
of, that's when really for us, that's when things tipped, and that was. The
were you down? Game. You were down in Boise for that, weren't you?
No, I wasn't.
You didn't go?
No, I wasn't.
Because I remember we were invited to go down there, but I was like, no, I won't do that one because I, you know, we got March Madness right around the corner.
I just didn't have enough. I couldn't have enough absences. I couldn't miss class. Like, and,
yeah.
I mean, that was right before we went totally online. So.
Yep. I know. It's crazy. Man, I can't even think about, like, the show next year or next semester, man. Like, I feel bad for you because. Especially with Inside the Vandals and all that, like, who else? You know, it was just – it's been us two the whole time. Like, we did a lot of everything. And now it's just going to be – are you still doing anything with athletics or anything like that?
I mean, I applied for a job in marketing. Didn't work out. They hired someone who had a little more experience in that realm. And then as of now, I mean, it's talking with Michael Gardner over there. The videographer and trying to see what I can do to help. And he's like, you know, coaches footage and highlights, just trying to, you know, get things going with that. But as of now, you know, it's just what I can get. Keep running checkout like I am. Keep running VN. Keep running this podcast.
How's VN going? That's interesting.
I mean, it's going. Like, you know,
what do you guys write about? What do you guys write about now?
I mean, everyone wants to go read it. TheVandalNation.com, at VandalNation, on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. As of now, you know, we've written a couple stories, you know, one about football and just kind of how their practice is going, thoughts from Petrino, same for soccer. We're probably going to do a lot more club sports and just kind of how that's going and what's going on there because officially club sports are going to be starting September 5th, I believe. It's wiffle ball and kickball. In the Kibby Dome, that's what's the first things that.
Hey
are
man,
go
you gotta, on. You gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta, in a pandemic, maybe that's like the most exciting sports you're gonna get right now.
No, yeah, and so it's. I mean,
some
it's
club, it, some club wiffle ball. I would love that.
You know, talking with the team and just talking with everyone there. I mean, every day they're like, or every other day it's like, you know, hey, you got any updates? And at the same time, it's the same thing. It's, you know, for the first time, we're a sports website in a sports section. With no real sports to write about. So that's the biggest challenge. And, you know, I think we've been doing okay so far, but, you know, just, you know, if we were full-time journalists and full-time newsroom, you know, we could maybe do a little more, but, you know, with every single one of us balances at the Argonaut, we all try and balance, you know, as we all try and balance 5-10 different things.
Oh yeah.
And you can only do so much. And especially now with, you know, not a ton of people, because, you know, it's hard to get recruitment when nobody's in classes, but
how have production nights gone? Is it still
it's
like, are
virtual.
You guys doing that remote? It's all virtual.
Yep.
So
all
you can't
teams.
Even go in the, wow. So no, you can't be in the office.
No. Wow. Yeah. I went into the office to talk to, you know, talk to our advisor, Tara, you know, you know, this is mostly just us right now, but, you know, I went in there and sat at my desk, the newsroom, you know, made socially distant. So all the desks are changed. All the furniture is moved around. It is 100% different than how it was. And, you know, I think that goes for everyone, you know, not just us. You just wish things would go back to the way they were. And you just wish things would go back to normal. And I just can't wait for not only this, but for everyone. Things can just go back to the way they were and just be better. And we can always get back to living our normal lives because we're all getting through it right now. But I mean, I think we're all kind of reaching that point of, all right, let's turn this corner. Everyone needs to start trying to get around this thing finally.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. We're entering the last quarter basically here of 2020. So if we've made it this long, man, I think hopefully we can push through for who knows. Hopefully this is only a 2020 thing, but who knows what can happen, man. Who knows? I'll ask you this. Because there's been a lot of big sports news and stuff that's happened this summer. Is there anything that really has stuck out to you?
I mean, most recently, it was Lionel Messi requesting to part ways with Barcelona and reportedly wanting to go to Manchester City. That's more international soccer stuff.
Wow.
I know a lot of people, especially up here, don't give a rip about it. But, I mean, he has been – it's like when Ronaldo left Madrid. It's just he's been there for so long. He's become such known with – so known for the brand. Leave – It just once again, it's like LeBron going to the Lakers. It's like, it's just with everything that's changing. Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's
everything.
Yeah. Brady going to the Bucks.
This year has been the perfect representation of change is inevitable. Whatever you don't want to happen or whatever you don't want to change, it's going to change eventually, no matter how long you've been comfortable with it.
Exactly. Another question I wanted to ask you. How do you feel about potentially having to play against Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas twice a year?
Honestly, I wouldn't mind it as much because it's kind of, I mean, I don't think – me personally, I don't think Earl is going to go to the Niners with everything that went on in Baltimore and now everything ended in Seattle. I think the only team that really suits him well at this point is Dallas. Especially since how
I'm hearing not even Dallas wants him. That's which is crazy to think. I say just go to Tampa, man. Go to Tampa. Go retire in Tampa.
Well, the thing is with Earl, I mean, as a Seahawks fan, I've known this for a long time, but you know, it's starting to get voiced a little more that in the Seattle Legion of Boom, it was a cover three, safety high. You have Earl and Cam patrolling the middle, kind of doing their own thing. You got Sherm and probably – and, you know, Maxwell, Jeremy Lane. You got whoever on that other side. And you just kind of let them do their thing. And Earl went to Baltimore. They had success. But even everyone saw, they're like, you know, that just wasn't what he was so comfortable and successful with for the first however many years that was in the NFL with Seattle. It was so much more, you know, meticulously crafted. You know, you have to do this, Ed – it was, you know, how Ed Reed and Ray Lewis succeeded. You got to know your role and you got to do it perfectly or do it in a high level.
Yeah.
And Earl's just kind of more of a freelance guy. That's why I think it's harder for him to find a system that suits him because he thrives so well in Seattle's. It's just that's why Seattle's so different is that they did it so uniquely for pretty much from 2011 to 2016, 2017.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing I hate. I hate how good Philip Rivers looks in a Colts uniform. I hate how much he looks like he should be here. I mean, I hope he plays well. I hope so, but we'll have to wait and see. I'm excited for Marlon Mack, Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. I think that's going to be crazy. I think Jonathan Taylor, everyone has very, very high expectations for him. We'll just have to wait and see on that. And who knows? I mean, it's with the NFL. I think some places are still allowing fans, which is crazy. I think Kansas City is still having fans. I think they even had fans there at training camp.
Yeah.
Very limited, but.
Mm-hmm. Again, it goes back to, it's going to be hard for all this to work out and be safe because we've already had 180,000 too many. You know, we've lost to this virus and lost to COVID. I don't want to see any more. And you know, it doesn't matter if you're an athlete, it doesn't matter if you're just a member of the staff. I mean, if we like how the NBA is doing, if you can do it safely, no cases, you can and you can still do it, awesome. It's just once you see that case number go from 1 to 4 to 10 to 20, that's when you get nervous. Because although people will say, you know, immortality, you know, how many people die overall by cases is low, it shouldn't matter. Because if one person dies, I feel like that's one too many.
That's yeah, just
me,
I mean,
that's me personally.
Yeah, I mean, what the NBA has been able to do with the bubble has been incredible. But it's like it's so hard to be able to do that type of bubble for everyone else. And even if it seems like this NBA season will actually come to a close and will be finished out, but when will we see another NBA season? You know, because it's not like they can just go back to the bubble and play all 82 games or something, you know? So who knows? Who knows? If anything, cherish these NBA playoffs. Because
if they finish, if they
we may good. Not, if they finish, if they finish, Thunder are tied 2-2 right now, no big deal. But now Russ is back, so there goes those chances.
Real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
What I mean is there a case for Chris Paul to be the most improved player this year? You don't think?
No, he wasn't bad last year.
But, okay, if there was a most improved team, maybe not most improved, we have to agree that the Thunder exceeded every expectation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
by
sure.
a mile. And it's amazing what CP3 did.
I don't think it's any question, though. There was never a question as to how Chris Paul was going to play. Like, I think he's Chris Paul. Like, he's one of the best to ever do it. He's still one of the best point guards in the league. It's just he goes under notice just the way he plays. He's from that, you know, that era of take that mid-range jumper. You know, he doesn't throw up as many threes as everybody else. He was forced to a lot there in Houston because that's what they do. They shoot 50 threes a game and hope that at least a quarter of them go in.
Yeah.
But I think what he's brought to the Thunder organization has been great. It's a refreshing, different taste of compared to what Russ brought. And I still love Russ, and I love what he brought for that club. But I'm just excited to see ball movement. I'm excited to see team ball, you know, and not just having the ball needed in Russ's hands at every moment to win. You know, we got Chris Paul, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dennis Schroeder, who should be sixth man of the year.
Yeah.
All this stuff. So, yeah, it's been definitely fun to watch the Thunder, especially now regroup and tie the series at 2-2 with the Rockets. Heck, if they – that's all I'm hoping. If the Thunder can get out of the first round, that's a win this season. You know, there's no way we're going to beat the Lakers. That's not going to happen. But, yeah, it's been fun.
I will say probably the most surprising thing, I mean, for people that don't follow the NBA, you know, Chris Paul, like Chris said, one of the best point guards of all time in the league. I would say just his ability to not be injured this year, his ability to stay healthy.
Yeah.
That was my biggest concern. And when there were trade rumors of him going to Miami, that's why I was like, because I'm a Miami Heat guy. Because I was like, he was an injury-prone guy. You know, and a little bit in LAC, but mostly in Houston towards those last couple years. And that's what worried me. But in OKC, he has been amazing. And, you know, and can we just talk real quick how in the Eastern Conference we had three sweeps. One is probably going to be a gentleman sweep of 4-1. And then out West, we got 3-1, 2-2, 2-2, or 3-2, 3-2.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. The West is, I think, we've all known the West has been more competitive conference compared to the East. They keep getting stronger and stronger each year. So it makes sense to have the better matchups. You know, Luka Doncic has turned into a whole other animal in the bubble, especially in his first playoffs. going against the Clippers and all that stuff. But now it seems that Paul George has finally woken up. He's finally back. Playoff P is back now. So it looks like the Clippers are going to be fine. I think still at the end of the day, we're still going to see the Lakers-Clippers still. But what's going to suck is we're not going to see it like it should be. You know, it's there in L.A. Staples. Yeah, in Staples. Crazy atmosphere there. Yeah.
So. I mean, I have seen this, that the fact that there's no fans and that it's really the court, I've heard it argued that this is allowing for some of the most competitive playoffs in a while, because it is strictly like there's no home court, like, you know, they have the pipe in noise, there's no home court advantage. It's just how comfortable you feel. Pretty much, if you're comfortable playing in a gym in a pickup game, you're gonna do amazing here. And so far that's what's happened. And I mean, we saw that with TJ Warren going off, you know,
yeah,
and being amazing, and I mean, all these younger guys just blowing up in the first round.
Exactly. I mean, also, I just want to say it sucks that the Grizzlies took away a great play-in matchup of the Suns and, you know, the Trailblazers, who in the bubble looked like the two best teams in the NBA. Yeah. Devin Booker, Damian Lillard fighting for bubble MVP, basically. That would have been a great game to watch. Imagine the Suns actually making the playoffs. They won every game in the bubble, and now expectations are set for that ball club that, hey, we've arrived. We're actually a decent ball club. So now, can it continue when it's, you know, everything's back to normal? Who knows? But they were sure fun to watch, that's for sure.
And as we kind of bring this thing back down to earth, and, you know, the one thing that was funniest to me is how much attention the Kivvy Dome and how much the Kivvy Dome bubble stuff there was on, like, the college football Reddit pages, you know, kind of the college football social media community. Everyone was like, Kivvy Dome bubble, because everyone knows the Kivvy Dome from the NCAA football games and how it's just kind of that place in the middle of nowhere. And it's a place where you can go and you can have a good game. And it's just funny how it's become such a not a punchline, but more of just a meme within that college football fan community.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine that? I don't know. I don't even know how you were able to do that. Just be like, yeah, okay, we're doing – or even just like the Big Sky in general. Let's just do that, you know? Like, what if all Big Sky football was just played purely in Moscow or something? That would be ridiculous. It never can happen. There's no sort of logical reason that can even happen, but
the logistics are impossible.
Yeah, the logistics are impossible, but what if, you know, this whole year we just got to use our imagination for things, because it's not actually happening. But imagine it being like the NBA bubble and just all day just Big Sky football is happening.
You want to know who I saw on campus yesterday when I was going to the Kivvy Dome and I walked by practice?
Who'd you see?
Former quarterback Mason Petrino, back in the SCO.
Oh, he is back in the SCO.
He was.
How about that?
Did get a chance to talk to him. He was on the phone and doing stuff. But, I mean, another thing I'll say, I want to ask, the new Pride Gold helmets with the black lettering.
Yes, I love them. I love them. I think it's great.
I think they look good. Personally, I think all black with the yellow Vandals or the gold Vandals, I think would have looked better, in my opinion, and it would allow for more blackout opportunities in terms of uniforms of all black with the yellow lettering. But I like this,
too. I think it'd be cool. I want to see like all black and then have like that gold stripe down the side of the pants.
Yeah.
With that Vandal gold. I think that would look so nice. Ugh.
I just
Man, that would have been quite a kits. Debut this season. Yeah.
I was have to wait for the spring, hopefully, or maybe a little sooner. And, I mean, this could mean, for me, what I've been wanting, and we talked about this last year, new uniforms for basketball. You know,
maybe
you know,
especially men's.
Yeah, move away from. I mean, the all whites I really like. The all blacks I really liked. It's the gray and the golds that I think kind of get the colors get a little muddied, and I think this could open the door for because the soccer's already done it. I think volleyball kind of moved in that way too.
Yeah.
But we're finally getting into the later stages of the rebrand and the recoloring that we've been going over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think especially for men's basketball, those home uniforms just have not looked good these past few years. Not looking great. The road uniforms look spectacular. The only problem was we could never find a way to win on the road. So it just puts a bad taste on those uniforms. But women's basketball, though, I mean, heck, those uniforms are great. And I, you know me, I love those gray uniforms that they have always worn. So I think it'll look great. But yeah, if you can have those gray uniforms now with that new Vandal gold really pop on them, that's gonna look really nice.
Find a way to work with it, and I think they can really get away, you know, or get something that'll be really spectacular. And as we kind of, you know, wind things down a little bit. Really, you know, if our listener, you know, for our listeners that are still here, thank you for sticking around. Zach and Chris,
thank you.
Here with TVSP. This year, I think what our plan is, you know, since we do have a little more space, you know, to kind of talk and, you know, have some more. I think for me, you know, if what I kind of want to do is, you know, what, you know, every week we'll talk about a different team, you know, obviously we'll give updates on things as they come around, but like, I just kind of want to just, you know, have, you know, a good 20, 25 minutes, you know, 30 minutes, you know, how we would of talking Vandal sports and keep it honed in on a team, you know, still a little more free flowing, bringing ideas in order to, you know, keep this part of the show, the main heart of it all alive.
Yeah.
That's what we've always wanted to be. Your one-stop shop to hear Vandal stuff, because there isn't a whole lot of places to go to listen just about the University of Idaho and the things going on here from guys who know what's been going on here for the last few years and are actually invested in these programs and will give you, you know, knowledgeable analysis and knowledgeable thoughts on all of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's also going to provide us an opportunity to just have more fun with it too, you know? We don't have to really follow such a rigid of like, oh, we have to cover this game, you know, because this game's coming up. We have to talk about this team or this. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we can explore the past a little more and see what some of our favorite teams have been, our favorite moments. Just have some fun with the show, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll still have always our points where we can talk about professional sports, talk about what's going on, you know, what are that's actually being played right now. And yeah, exactly. Just have a little more free – a little more room to breathe. I said it a couple times already, but I think, you know, it's making the best with what we got. I mean, I would have loved to talk about the game this week against Central Washington and, you know,
that would be the home opener, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have been the home opener. Next week would have been against Washington State in Pullman. After that, they would have gone to Temple in Pennsylvania, in Philly, playing at Lincoln Field. But now, unfortunately, nothing.
Yep.
But we're going to make the best of it all year, at least for you, until the end of 2020. We're going to keep talking Vandal sports. We're going to keep talking and keeping the show alive, keeping everything, try and keep it as fresh as we can, and give for the people that want to know about Vandals athletics and Vandal sports, you know where to come. We're available on CastBox. We're available on Spotify. We're going to – I mean, who knows? We'll try and set maybe some live shows up somehow. Because I feel like we could easily do three-hour shows on everything that we talk about. Feels like 1 hour isn't even long enough now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Especially with all the stuff that we need to basically catch up on and stuff as well. So.
But, yeah, we're going to have a lot to talk about, a lot to do. And, Chris, is there anything you kind of want to – send off this first show with, or, you know, some words you want to say to the listeners as we kind of head out in this new year?
You know, hang in there, I guess. Anybody who is kind of been feeling like us and I guess maybe feeling a little empty with not having any sports in the world, especially Vandal Sports. You know, I guess appreciate it while it lasted, and we're definitely going to be looking forward to where it comes back. And hey, just stay with us. Stay with us because, you know, we're still be providing as much Vandal news as we can, and trying to have fun as well along the way. So,
yeah, same thing for me. I mean, be safe, be healthy. Yep.
Be safe.
Listen to the Vandal scoreboard when you got a second, or if you're just, you know, doing some work, and you just want some noise exactly. in the background, throw in the earbuds, play us, and, you know, we'll always be there to keep you company. And if you ever want to give advice or you want to give your thoughts, you can find both of us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, my Twitter at @Kellogg_Zach, and for Chris, @Chris_Dermer, Dermer spelled all capitalized DERMER.
Wow, you still remembered it. You still remembered it. I'm proud.
It's locked in. Right up here, it's locked in. And I think that is going to conclude this first week of the scoreboard. Chris, looking forward to talking to you next week on week two of this fall semester.
Hey, I'm excited for it, Zach.
All right, and we'll see you all later. Remember, the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast, 89.3 FM. You can find us on Spotify and CastBox. And we'll see you all next time. And remember, go Vandals.
Roll Vandals.
Feels good to be back.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.